Let's get the perspective now from Washington. And Simon Marks can join us now live from the U.S. Capitol. Hi, Simon. With so much happening domestically in U.S. politics right now, how much of a priority, if I can say that, is this unilateral declaration by Trump to declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel?
Well, look, there's no question, Andrea, as you know, and everyone knows, Donald Trump has got his plate very full at the moment with a whole array of different issues, including, of course, that grinding investigation by Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller into ties between Donald Trump's team in last year's presidential election and the Russians. But Donald Trump is making this a priority. He made it a priority this week. He didn't need to take to the diplomatic reception room of the White House to make this announcement this week. He could simply have signed the waiver that successive U.S. presidents have signed every 6 months since 1995, when Congress mandated that the U.S. embassy should move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So he made the decision to put this on the front burner, and he's going to try and keep it close to the front burner, at least over the next few days, because Vice President Mike Pence, who was with him in the White House when he made that announcement publicly earlier this week, is now being sent to the region. And there's a big question that arises from that. Will Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority agree to meet with Vice President Mike Pence, or will he boycott the planned conversation that the two of them were expected to have? The Palestinians clearly, we've heard several of their representatives on this program in the last hour say that they believe that Donald Trump has smashed the compact. He's smashed the consensus over the status of Israel, and he's pre-gamed the outcome of final status talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. The Americans, they argue, can no longer portray themselves as honest brokers in this process. The White House is warning Mahmoud Abbas that pulling out of those talks with Vice President Mike Pence would be, in the words of a White House official, counterproductive. But precisely what kind of leverage the White House thinks that it has to influence Mahmoud Abbas's thinking at this point, I think, is very unclear. And it will be interesting to see whether that meeting goes ahead or whether Mahmoud Abbas decides to stay away.
Indeed. And Simon, I'd like to get your take on something I've heard a few other analysts say, that some suspect Trump's making this declaration such a priority right now, and trying to put foreign policy on the front burner in the U.S. is just a strategy at distraction because of the problems, the investigation he's facing in the U.S. What do you make of that? What's being said there?
Well, look, I mean, Donald Trump loves to distract. He uses his Twitter account all the time to distract. Every time something's going on in the Russia investigation over here, he's the president of the United States who says, oh, look over here instead. But I think there's more to it than simple distraction. He made great pains in his speech when he unveiled this policy shift to make the point that he was making good on a campaign pledge. He said he would do this on the campaign trail. Now he's doing it. He likes to be able to say that. And this was action that didn't require congressional approval. So unlike many of the other things that he said he was going to do but has been unable to do, he could just go ahead and do this, sign that proclamation at the White House and make it so. And he did that at a time when his approval ratings have sagged to record lows. Only 32% of American voters now say they approve of the job that Donald Trump is doing. That is not just a historic low in terms of the modern presidency, but it is way, way, way an historic low in terms of the modern presidency. And so by doing this, Donald Trump is saying to the evangelical Christians who backed him, he's saying to the American Jewish voters who backed him, I've got your back. I'm in your corner. I'm making good on this pledge. And he's trying to shore up at least some of the support that is dissipating and ebbing away from him, because right now he needs to keep every single supporter that he can as the country turns the corner into 2018. Because remember, 2018 is an election year here. One third of the U.S. Senate and the entire House of Representatives up for grabs. It's going to be a referendum on Donald Trump's presidency. So this was one thing that he could do to say to his core supporters, stick with me.
Let me ask you, Simon, I mean, is Trump making clear that he is completely willing for the U.S. kind of to go this alone because right now the condemnation is more or less universal, with the exception, of course, of Israel. Even though Benjamin Netanyahu said yesterday that he expects a number of countries to follow suit. What's being said about that? Does Trump expect to get other countries to get in line behind him to move their embassies as well, or is he happy to make this a unilateral move by the U.S.?
You know, that may be wishful thinking on the part of Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, 86 embassies currently in Tel Aviv, none in Jerusalem, and not a single government other than the Israeli government that has openly welcomed this move, and certainly none other that has announced plans like that. And if you look at the nations that have reacted negatively to this, they include a whole host of countries that are traditionally loyal to the United States, allied to the United States, provide quiet, wise counsel to the United States. King Hussein Abdullah of Jordan, King Salman of Saudi Arabia, Emmanuel Macron of France, Theresa May of Britain, and of course Turkey's own Recep Tayyip Erdogan. I mean, they've all, with varying degrees of hostility, reacted negatively to this decision. Panoramically, though, there is still one unanswered question, which is what exactly was going on when Mahmoud Abbas a few days ago went to Saudi Arabia, met with leading Saudi officials, and they presented to him terms to try and advance the final status talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians that Mahmoud Abbas, of course, rejected out of hand because he argued they were less than anything that the Israelis had previously offered. What's going on behind the scenes between the United States and Saudi Arabia that led to that particular diplomatic dance taking place? There's been no real clarity or answer to that. So perhaps there's some kind of back-channel attempt by the United States through Saudi Arabia to try and influence the Palestinians. It certainly didn't seem to work, given everything that Mahmoud Abbas said publicly after his visit to Saudi Arabia. And again, absolutely no indication that there's a long line of nations out there willing to stand behind Donald Trump and say, you know what, you move first, but we'll be right behind you.
Okay. Simon Marks, thanks so much, as always, for your insight from Washington.